B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Better player, which will still bring me back to Brett Brown. If you can't make, you just talked about Siakam. This is what happens when kids come in the NBA. Either they get better, they level up, and especially when you only play 1 year of college. There's so much knowledge for these kids to learn. I've heard Bob talk about it constantly, whether it's a pick and roll or this or that. I don't want to hear anymore how this Gasol is a former defensive player of the year. That guy's a stiff. He's a tree. There's so many ways that Brett Brown or Embiid could have done this. Stand at the foul line. Oh, what? You can't do a pick and roll? Why? Because of Brett Brown. You can't have two guys on you and kick it right back? Why not? Because they don't know how to do it. How dumb a player is Ben Simmons? The shot, you played it with McGinnis. The silly jump in the air, alley-oop, that was terrible. And then he just hurls the ball over his shoulder with 6 seconds to go. I'm watching a team, and it's a different expression. This is a dumb team as I've watched.
Now, Warren, look, all your points are valid. The only thing I disagree with is just over the last year, I haven't seen that progression, and that's what you want to see. But you might get your wish, because this is the year push comes to shove for Brett Brown. By the way, 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. What do you have for me, Jamie?
We just got a call from our buddy Chris, who's a listener out there. He wanted to thank Trey. He's not mad. He's actually very happy. He actually just rear-ended somebody in traffic because he was laughing so hard at Trey's Tina Turner. And he said, yeah, everybody's fine. It's nothing major. Right, it's the happiest accident I've ever been in, but I'm still laughing. So, Chris, shout out to you. Hope you got great insurance.
Right, hope so.
We're wonderful people. We're wonderful. I like that he did specify that everyone's fine.
Yeah, he's like, no big deal. Everything's fine. I'm happy.
But you know, nobody's better. Nobody's more fine than our good friend Adam Joseph sitting in studio. Oh. Bob, they got something going on right here, don't they?
Oh, 6ABC meteorologist Adam Joseph.
You're always
what's
in a good mood.
Me and Donna's favorite meteorologist.
Like, everyone
right here.
I talk to, Adam, we've met once maybe before, yeah. But everyone I talk to is like, Adam Joseph, great guy. Like, you just have this great energy about you.
You know what? I live every day, every second. Don't waste a moment. Always be happy, or try to.
Okay.
You know, and just enjoy life. I mean, we got air in our lungs this morning, so, you know,
let's go,
we're here,
start.
We're good. And by the way, Trey, Tina Turner is one of my favorites.
Yeah, man.
I saw her here for her, like, goodbye tour. She, man, so good. Yes.
Don't let us get in your way.
No, it's okay.
But you guys have the 100th Thanksgiving Day Parade. I believe the first one ever was in Philadelphia anyway.
It's the oldest in the nation.
And you guys just hit it out of the park every single year.
We do. And this year, even more so. I mean, it's 100 years in the making. Dave Roberts and Lisa Thomas-Laurie, for decades, hosted that parade together. They're coming back as guests this year to talk about their hosting years. And every year, you know, we rise it to the next level. We're going to have prizes for folks who are at home watching who can't make it there. So we're going to have like a text and win series where they can win trips to Florida, Eagles tickets, and much, much more. And, of course, all the staples will be back. The balloons, even though it's going to be windy. It's going to be a little windy.
Yeah, but yeah. How's it
going to get those 40, balloon handlers
up to
with those
45
big
mile an hour gusts, I heard
look
yesterday from Adam. I watch it every day, dude. I'm not kidding you. Know? Every day. Every
you
day.
You got to do a guest spot for me.
I'll show you my text from my wife. Is he as nice as he seems? Like, she's all smitten.
If I had my kids here, they'd tell you how I really am at work.
Yeah, there you go. All of our kids do that.
Right, that's right. Yeah, literally.
So, what's for parade? Yeah. Coverage, because I've covered one parade in my day, and it was the Eagles championship parade. Okay, it was a Super Bowl parade.
I remember that.
I had a million hand warmers. I had a little thing of tea. I had a little nice little thermos of hot water.
Like
right?
This, yeah.
Okay, all right. Whiskey. How do you... details. How do you handle it when you're out there in the elements?
You know what? I just run around. I just keep moving. I mean, that last
you
year...
You take laps between hits.
That's it. You know what I mean? Just run around. And, you know, I honestly feed off of the energy of the people there because I'm a part of the fan cam along with Alicia Vitarelli. So unlike Cecily and Rick, who are in a tent and brought, you know, they're the hosts of the parade, Alicia and I are on a camera that is live streamed to 6abc.com the entire parade. So from 8:30 a.m. to noon, we have this camera fixated on us that we have to constantly address behind the scenes, and then we do some on-air hits. So we're running around talking to families about their traditions. So I don't even think about what the weather is like out there or if I'm tired or I just go, 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 go. It's one of those things you don't sit down, because if you sit down, you're not going to get back up.
How many parades is this for you for Thanksgiving Day parades?
I've been here almost 15 years, so I want to say this is, I wasn't a part of it the first maybe year or two, but maybe 12-ish.
What's the craziest thing you've seen in that crowd?
In that crowd, proposal. Well, I mean, like, good or bad? I mean, you're talking...
Oh, no, we want bad.
All right, I know that's what you're looking here, for. But I did do a live proposal, the now husband. He actually wrote me last night. There's 3 years ago. Now they have two kids.
Ah, that's great.
But anyway, they go every year, and he linked up with us and wanted to propose to his fiance at the time live on the air. So we did it live. So that was like the, aww.
Okay. That's beautiful.
And then what's the moment that makes you go, ugh?
I can't say that. Sure, can I?
We're in the trust tree. We're in the trust.
It's Thanksgiving. What's bad about Thanksgiving morning and families? You know what I mean?
Make a good point.
I mean, there's really not much other than people having, you know, donut like stuff all over their face and
a lot of families. And I did this growing up. Yeah. I have a lot of cousins. We'd all play football right up until the meal, and then we'd go back out and play more football. Weather-wise, on that day, parade-wise, and for the people that might be playing that backyard football match, you know that they always do. What's it looking like?
Awesome. I mean, other than the wind. Perfectly sunny, temperatures in the 40s, which really is not bad. Wind chills 36 to 43. Last year it was single digits to teens. You remember last year?
I do remember last year. Yeah. Last year was, I usually tailgate on Thanksgiving, Adam, so I'm very
into...
Well,
what about tradition? What are you guys' traditions? Like, football,
in all
eating?
Honesty, I was traveling a lot, working for Sunday Night Football for a lot of years, so I was away from the family, so I had a lot of, like, White Castle meals for Thanksgiving. I had a lot of, like, fast food meals and all that stuff. But this year, because I'm home, and I don't need your sympathy, Bob.
Yeah, you're looking for
it. No, but speaking with Adam Joseph here, here's the deal. I'm home for Thanksgiving this year for the first time in a long time.
Phenomenal.
My wife tells me about a month or two ago.
You're cooking.
I would actually love to cook. I love being in the kitchen. But she tells me that we're going to my brother-in-law, her brother's place, right? And they're thinking about everybody makes their own pizza. I'm out.
You want the traditional meal.
I look my wife in the eye and I go, that's nice. I'm not doing that. And she goes, oh, well, we're just kicking around at this point. So then, last week, my mother-in-law's in town, and they go, by the way, we are going to do the pizza for Thanksgiving. And I go, that sounds like something you guys will have a lot of fun with. I then get the evil eye, and I tell them, look, I am bringing my own turkey. You guys make your pizza. Okay. I'm going to have my own turkey.
Well, what
dinner.
About pizza, and then you put some turkey and stuffing on it?
I suggested
cranberry.
We did discuss this.
Suggestion. I'm out.
A non-traditional Thanksgiving for your first one at home.
Correct. I'm not doing it.
You can even ramp it up a level, Adam, and go cornbread pizza dough and build the turkey on top of this.
Okay. See?
Pizza, yeah.
I think we got something going on.
We're talking about the gobbler pizza.
Yeah.
That's a day some after. Cranberry sauce.
Favorite dessert.
Favorite dessert?
I make the... I'm going to have to bring a carrot cake someday.
Okay.
I mean... Phenomenal. I got a recipe from someone. I'm like, you've got to give me this recipe. Like, the best carrot. I'll have to bring you in one.
All right. So, what time's coverage starting?
Well, the pre-show is 8:30 on the air.
Okay.
The parade is from 9 to noon. We got Macy Gray coming this year. Ginger Z's coming back. Mickey, Minnie, all the Disney characters, the balloons, the shebang. Carson Kressley's going to be with us this year as well. He's... energy in himself and will not want to be missed.
You mentioned 14, 15 years in Philly?
Mm-hmm. Almost 15, yeah.
Have you caught on to the sports vibe in this city? Have you?
How can you not? I don't know if I should say where I'm from originally.
Yeah, where are you from originally?
Oh, wait.
Boston.
From Boston?
I've heard of it.
You heard of it? Yeah. I grew up actually 10 minutes from Gillette Stadium where the
Foxborough,
Yeah, Foxborough Stadium. Wow. Now Gillette, it was Foxborough.
Right.
I had the little horse track. Next to it back in the day, but so I grew up 10 minutes from
now there. They just have one dirt road leading out of the stadium, which is the worst stadium in all the NFL to leave. And I say that, I wish I would say that lovingly, but I don't. Patriot Place is pretty nice, though. I gotta say Patriot Place is
nice. You have a home mall there now? I mean, it's kind of like what we have here with the sports complex they're trying to build, in South Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
So, but no, how can you not? I mean, it's just like Boston. I mean, the city bleeds green, but they bleed their sports team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what, they're behind them. You know, even though they may talk smack when, they're not doing so well, but that's what makes you a vibrant city.
That's why we have jobs, Adam.
That too.
Yeah.
And Bob, I know you'll be tuned in, parade coverage.
Oh, can't wait. 6 ABC, 8:30 on Thursday.
Yes, on Channel 6.
Can't wait.
Yep, it's going
to
be awesome.
Adam, great to see you, man. Seriously.
Great to be here with you guys.
It's great to see you again, and you come just as advertised, my man. Great, great energy as always.
No bags under my eyes here this morning? No.
not if you do, bit. Radio can't see it, so yeah. Don't worry.
That's what I like about this.
You're right. Able to pull it off better than we are, my friend. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great broadcast on Thursday
as
well.
Having a wonderful Thanksgiving at home
this year. Back at you, brother. Thanks so much. Adam Joseph, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Let's get Vince up here in Wilmington. Vince, thanks for holding, man. What's on your mind? Yo, Vince.
Yo, my bad.
All good, brother.
I got two questions. One for Bob and then one for everybody else.
Okay.
Bob, have you changed your stance on Marc Gasol being an average defender?
At this point in his career, he's probably above average, yeah.
Oh, okay, because last year was average. I wasn't sure if you changed it, so you did. And then the second
one. Oh, that's good, Vince. You got me.
No, I'm glad. I just want to make sure you're watching the same games I'm watching.
He's 34 years old. Yeah, is he a primary defender in this league?
Say again?
You think he's in? What kind of a defender would you say Marc Gasol is right now?
Honestly, I
and don't say
one. like a top five big.
Top five big. Okay.
Yeah, I mean he doesn't protect the rim the same, but like. Down a low post for Embiid, at least, like he takes care of business, honestly. And then you see Embiid checks out every time Mark is guarding him. But I mean, that's just what I see.
Okay.
And the second one,
I guess I don't see.
But Vince, let me just say this: he is an average defender, but he is a phenomenal mismatch against Joel Embiid.
No, he's not an average defender.
He's an average defender. He's a great mismatch against Joel Embiid.
You didn't watch the finals last year.
No, I watched the finals last year. Yeah, no, I absolutely did. He's a great mismatch against JoJo, but he's nowhere near the defensive player of the year that Brett Brown likes mentioning every other day.
I don't know about that. You didn't watch the finals last year, I guess.
You'd be condescending on my show. Yeah, I watched the NBA finals, seriously. 610-632-0975. All I'm saying is that he is better as a mismatch against Joel Embiid.
He'll eat your lunch.
Than he is against the rest of the league. And that's what drives me so crazy. When I listen to a guy like Brett Brown tell me about the defensive player of the year as if he just won the award. Here it is. Let's get Brett Brown from last night. Now, the game ends, obviously. Joel Embiid has another horrible performance. And I am not willing to just say that was all Marc Gasol. Yes, it was a lot of double teams. Certainly wasn't just Marc Gasol. And then it was also Joel Embiid having no energy, no gas in his tank at all throughout that game from start to finish. But Brett Brown wanted to talk about the struggles. He was teed up for it after. Here's Brett Brown on Joel Embiid's struggles last night.
It's all about him quarterback in the gym. You know, they double teamed him on every single catch. And I thought, you know, there were times he did a really good job of inviting that and passing out of it. And, you know, we shot a lot of threes because they doubled him. And, you know, that's what the game produced. And I thought we did a pretty good job from time to time of, like, getting off the post and passing it around and trying to find his floor spots. I think you give Marc Gasol, a former Defensive Player of the Year, credit, and Toronto credit. But it was a long night for Joe.
7 years ago!
And if he's such an elite defender, top five in the league, why do you have to double and triple team him?
I don't know.
I'm not going to die on Marc Gasol defensive hill, but last night to me had more to do with Joel Embiid than it did just Marc Gasol guarding him.
Absolutely. That was my major takeaway from last night's game. It was more or less Joel Embiid doing that to himself than it was anybody else. And it was really the fact that he had nothing. He hadn't, early on in the first quarter, I'm looking at it and I'm going, I know he usually moves when he's trying to set a screen, but it was like he was taking full steps to try to stay with the guy that was trying to screen for. You see him under the basket not have that same fluidity to his game. And offensively, you never saw him under the basket. Two shots last night that were under the basket. That's not his game.
He was throwing his ass out last night trying to set picks because he was so lazy in the way where he was getting his body. If you notice, instead of getting wide and getting out there, you know, full-fledged and getting the guy in the middle of your body when you're setting a pick, he was half-ass getting there. Then when the guy went around him, he's trying to, you know, give it the old mama ass out there, like, boom, I'm going to hit you with that. like his game reeked of laziness last night.
Mama,
so what
ass?
Was that movie?
You like that mama ass thing there, Trey?
That's what that was.
I don't know. This just came to mind. Mama ass. I don't know.
There's a couple seconds delay on our Twitch feed, and I just saw the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
All over
again. I just looked it up just out of curiosity. Marc Gasol is 41st in the NBA in defensive win shares.
Oh, wait a minute. So he's a great matchup against Joel Embiid, but he's not that good elsewhere?
Well, the caller did say top five big men. So he might be, among centers, he's probably a top seven guy.
There's no definitive centers in the league anymore.
Well, I hear you. It's more about Joel Embiid than it was Marc Gasol.
Okay, that's...
Still, I 100% agree. Just in fairness, I'm throwing out his defensive rating, which...
41%?
No, he's 41st in the league in terms of defensive win shares.
Thank you.
So take that for what you will.
There's that stat.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
That's a thing now.
Well, what isn't a thing? In all honesty. Oh, by the way, 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag at your estate, Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Real quick, I wanted to get Joel Embiid's take on all this. Now, you heard from Brett Brown. Here's Joel Embiid on a pointless game. Like, literally, no points scored, 0-11 from the... Just so you know.
I never thought we'd see it, to be honest with you.
Well, we did. And last night it happened, and it was atrocious. Here's JoJo on his performance.
It starts with me. I can't have this type of production. I would have never thought I would be here, talking about 0 points in an NBA game, but it is what it is. Some nights you make shots, some nights you don't. Some nights you're hot, some nights you're cold. Different defensive schemes, and you gotta learn from it. Try to keep learning and keep working on your game.
He's coaching. It's a coaching moment, apparently, Trey.
He's absolutely okay with these 0 points.
I really enjoy when he says, "I bleeping sucked after a game." And he said that before.
Okay.
I thought he would say that after he didn't score a single point and played the worst game. I never thought I'd see the worst game I'd ever see from Carson Wentz, followed by the worst game I ever see from Joel Embiid in a 2-day span.
It sounded like he was about to have an almond joy. Like, sometimes you're cold. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
I really hope Brett Brown went into the locker room with that message.
Yeah, hey, you want to arm and joy?
Sometimes you want that refreshing coconut taste. Other times you want some nut.
Adam Levittown, what's on your mind, man? Yo, Adam.
Oh, hey how's it going?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind today?
Just real quick, I can't watch Brett Brown blow games with 2 minutes left anymore. And I hope, talk me off the ledge here, but when I'm watching Ben Simmons, I think of Dominic Brown. I think of a player who has all this potential, and it's just not developing. Some asset that's just untradeable because it's so good, and he disappears. How many points did he have in the second half? Did he score? Like,
He came out hot. You're talking Simmons, right, Adam?
Yeah, Ben Simmons.
Yeah, he came out hot in the third quarter. He scored like eight points early third. I hear you. I hear you, though. Bad turnovers in the fourth quarter, bad decision-making, and not knowing how much time is left on the clock on your final possession.
But isn't that coaching? Like, how do you not know that?
Well, real quick.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I hear you. But I can't imagine that Brett called a timeout. And I'm not defending Brett Brown. I'm not. For all the people out there saying. He calls him into a timeout with 11 seconds to go. I'm sure that he drew up a play saying, all right, we want to come off. Let's try to get Tobias a three quickly. If we can't, let's look to score a two maybe quickly. Then look to foul, knowing there's 11 seconds on the clock. How the players don't know sitting on the bench that there's 11 seconds to go is beyond me. I don't think a coach has to put that into their head, though, is what I'm saying.
I know. That's the scary thing, though. It's like, did you realize how much time? It's frustrating to watch.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Adam. I'll be honest with you. Third quarter, the end of the third quarter, when they get a gift with that basketball in their own half-court set and their play gets busted, I look at Brett Brown for that. I don't look at him for the final 12 seconds when you have Ben Simmons trying to throw half the court over two defenders to Tobias Harris. Ben Simmons, that's a grade school level don't do type of play that he tried to make in the final 12 seconds, down a point in that game. Yeah. And then the final inbounds play, the play worked. Tobias Harris got the shot off. But then you mean to tell me Ben Simmons with 5.5, 6 seconds left on the clock jacks up a three-pointer from 33 feet away where he wasn't even looking at the basket. That's on the player. There's a lot you can put on Brett Brown not being able to rotate centers down low when he saw how much Joel Embiid was struggling in this game. But that particular play at the end of the game, I'm not taking any blame off Ben Simmons. Any coach at any level of basketball is saying how much time left is left on the clock when they're coming out of that timeout.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah, not knowing how much time left is inexcusable on everyone. I mean, Brett, Tobias, Joe, Ben, whoever. You got to know.
It really is frustrating, though, and we'll go back to this. Seeing the level that Ben and JoJo are at the beginning of this season, and then seeing the giant leaps forward in a game of Pascal Siakam. It's like he's not at all the same player he was 2 years ago. And they're very similar players from Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I think this year is the biggest disappointment thus far. The numbers look good, but the effort does not. And really, ultimately, when you're losing to a top team like the Toronto Raptors, for instance, away on their home court. Okay, so you're on the road. The place you got bounced out of the playoffs last year and you play with no emotion. Josh Richardson's the one that looks like it matters most to. There's no excuse there. That comes to the coach having them ready to play. But at the same time, you have to look at these professional athletes as guys that should go in there with an attitude and be willing to play. And you did not see that from the best player on your court, on the best player on your team in Joel Embiid last night.
Yeah.
Nailed it in.
We talked about those two being leaders. Is this the year? This is the year you stop babying them. This is the year. You know, I hear what you say, Mark, but it really makes my ears stop when I hear the coach has to have them pumped up to play. Now, you said ready to play. That's different.
Yeah.
But I've heard you, and I'm not saying what you said, but I've gotten people, the coach has to get them ready to play. How could they go out there not pumped up to play? Not ready. No, you know, are you kidding me? You're in the NBA. You should be ready to play every night. You don't need a Jimmy Butler coming to town to get you amped up. You don't need a fight with Karl Anthony Towns to get you amped up. You don't need the crowd booing you to get you amped up. You get on that court every night and you give it your best. And that's what great organizations do, individuals and great organizations do. And right now, they don't have it.
Last thing from last night's sound, at least, to the game. Did you hear Ben Simmons talk about that last second shot?
I don't think we have that.
I'm pretty sure we have this. This is
pay attention. It goes by very quickly.
Yeah, this is as quick a decision as Ben Simmons took to make that shot or to take that shot. Here he is trying to explain what happened in that final shot with 6 seconds left. Here it is.
Tobias got a look, and then I put it up. That's where we got the rebound.
I'm sorry. What? One more time. Just
Tobias got a look, and then I put it up. That's where we got the rebound.
After we got the rebound.
Tobias got a look, and then I put it up. That's where we got the rebound.
Lack of awareness by your point guard on that play.
And the thing was, he put it up, and it hits the floor, and they go down the other, and he's falling towards the sideline. He sits on the press tape, you know, on the scorer's table, and he's kind of like looking at the clock like, huh?
Yeah. I don't. He had no idea how much time was left in that game.
No.
Manny in Newtown, what's on your mind, Manny? Yo, hey Manny. Guys, hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. I watched the game last night, and, you know, I mean, I'm trying to be a fair fan here. I just don't know why Ben was even passing the ball at all at that point. He should be going to the basket, being aggressive, caring about the outcome of the game, kind of like Richardson was doing. Richardson was putting up shots.
He had five threes in this game.
Richardson?
Richardson did, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I'm just watching the fourth quarter. I'm watching different games last night. And as I was watching that game, it just looked like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid weren't that interested in winning the game. I know facial expressions could mean whatever. I don't know those guys personally. It just looked like they didn't care about winning the game. And if Joel has a bad night, or Ben has a bad night, it should be for the other guy to step up and do something. I just didn't see that last night. Thanks for my call, guys.
All right, thanks, everyone. I appreciate it. I don't understand it either. Nothing made sense about last night's game. And we said going into last night that this was the biggest game to this point of the Sixers season, facing the team that and without Kawhi Leonard, you should, with the reloading you did in the offseason.
And Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry sitting out as well. You mean to tell me, with the reloading of the roster that you did after this season, you can't beat that Raptors team that lost the best player in the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
That is beyond damning. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you know another damning thing about how wrong this Eagles season has gone. How astray it has gone. We'll let you know what that is coming up in. Because, again, the Eagles let you in on how lost they are as a front office. Time to the Fanatic, 923.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
How is it at all possible that you have three different cases this year where guys play at least 81% of your snaps on game day, and then the next day they're released? That, to me, is the most indicting thing of the Eagles front office.
Because you have a really, really good team.
Relying on one guy to play the vast majority of the game for you, and then suddenly they're not good enough to be on the team.
That's amazing.
How does that make sense, Trey?
It doesn't.
How am I supposed to look at a front office and go, oh, you guys know what you're doing? Like, Akeem Spence, Zach Brown, Jordan Matthews most recently, who played 96% of the snaps on Sunday and yesterday gets released. Now, I'm not dying on Jordan Matthews Hill, but when you have anybody, regardless of name or how many times they've been in Philadelphia and been signed to a deal in Philadelphia, you cut them the day after they play the vast majority of the game for you. So one second, totally reliant on this guy playing. Next moment, yeah, not at all ready to go. Not at all. Can't win with this guy.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
How does that make any sense?
Yeah, it doesn't.
How am I supposed to have confidence in this front? Oh, hey, they won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. I remember that. That was fun. They hit on every single guy that they brought in. But since then,
And who's it affect the most that they just waived Jordan Matthews again?
Carson Wentz?
Maybe. Does that help the current slump that he's in?
Got rid of his thunder buddy.
And, like, I'm not saying you keep a guy on a team. I mean, this is professional sports. You don't keep a guy on a team because they're good friends. But, like, why not?
None of this makes sense.
Anything to help your franchise quarterback in what you hope to be a playoff push? Why would you get rid of somebody that he loves and trusts?
I don't know.
I'm not even talking playing purposes. Like, deactivate him every week. I don't care about that. But if it's going to hurt Carson Wentz, I go, what the hell is going on here? You don't need him to have that.
So who are we relying on now? Alshon?
Yeah, Alshon and Nelson to come back.
If J.J. Arcega-Whiteside just had such a terrible game, and by the way, Doug Peterson tried giving some compliments to Arcega-Whiteside over the yesterday. Yeah, it didn't really hit home because it didn't really work in a bad game. Bottom line is he had a bad game. He's had a lot of bad games. He's had a bad season. For a second-round pick, he's had a terrible season.
He's had a bad career.
He's had a bad
career.
Career's been awful, now you think of it. But no, you're supposed to rely on these guys to make plays for you, and you get rid of a guy who was already on the same page as your quarterback and played 91% of your snaps on Sunday. And all of a sudden, yep, not good enough anymore. I can't say it enough. It just makes no sense whatsoever. Let's get to Malik. Malik, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Malik?
Hey, how y'all doing? Love the show, man.
Thanks, man.
I wanted to talk about the Eagles, too. I just feel like, man, all they receivers injured, so it's like nothing he could do. I mean, Carson Wentz, he a good quarterback. He always looks for the big play, but he don't take no check down. That's his main problem.
Yeah, I don't know if it's checked down. I really don't know what the main problem is with Carson Wentz. I will say this. Up until the last two games, he has been far from the biggest problem with the team. But the last two games have me worried. I'm excited and happy that they play awful opponents the rest of the way, except for that Dallas game. And I feel like we'll say that a lot up until that Dallas game.
Yeah.
Go into Miami on Sunday, take care of business, give us some warm and fuzzies, take care of the Giants, take care of the Redskins, take care of the Cowboys and all that. But as of right now, I just want to see my quarterback play a steady style of football. And you haven't seen that over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but see, one thing is the Eagles match up so horrible with Dallas. the main thing the Eagles want to do is hit the tight end, and Dallas got line. They the strongest part of their defense is the linebackers. So they just really match up horrible with them. Now, mind you, Dallas can beat the big games, though. Like, Dallas will lose to every big team. But the Eagles can win those games. They just match up bad with Dallas. That's just a bad matchup for them. That's the only thing. It's just a division thing.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Malik. As much as I want to say they're going to win every game, and including the Dallas game, I feel like there's two tough games on this schedule. Other than Dallas, I don't know what the other one's going to be, but divisional games, some weird things can happen. Well, put it this way.
We're playing, scraping the bottom of the barrel. If they don't win these games, they didn't deserve it in the first place.
What are the...
3-2-win teams.
Yeah, I understand that.
Three.
What have the Eagles done to show you they can play better than two games in a row of decent football?
They beat the Packers. They beat the Bills. Uh-huh. They've beaten some
quads. Spurts.
I hear you,
two-game spurts.
Even if they play like they did on Sunday, they should still be able to beat the Dolphins. I think they're going to blow the doors off the Dolphins, honestly. I would lay the 7.5 and not even think twice about it on Sunday.
Are you going to the game?
Yeah, I am.
Well, there you go.
It's going to be a good time.
I see you have even more of a vested interest.
Oh, I'll probably be laying a little bet before I leave. That's for sure.
Atta fella.
It's a slump buster. They'll be fine. I think Alshon, Nelson, Lane, Brandon, Jordan Howard. Mm. Once those guys return, it's going to make a huge difference.
By the way, I did talk to Zach Ertz yesterday about Brandon Brooks.
For the guy.
There's a real thing in the... I don't want to make it out more than it is, but there's a real brotherhood in the locker room as far as giving support to him and Brandon Brooks. Look, you guys have been the best, probably the best player on the football field from week one to now.
Probably.
For the Eagles. Been the best, most consistent player, consistently right guard, best in football. We know that. There's a real brotherhood as far as lending their support to him. Mm-hmm. And when I hear something like that, I'm like, where's the rest of the guys to step up and try to pick up a guy like that? Like, when you see a guy struggling like that again with something that he dealt with a few years ago, where's everybody else trying to raise their game? Because I didn't see that at all over the last two games, especially this last one, when you would think the guys would rally just a little bit. Is it Rashawn?
Uh-oh, in other news.
What's up?
Real quick, this is going to make the rounds for the rest of the day now. It apparently just came out. Michael Vick on Carson Wentz on Fox Sports said Carson Wentz will fail in Philadelphia. Now, I haven't listened to the whole entire segment yet, but he's with Marcellus Wiley and a couple other analysts, and he goes on to agree with Marcellus Wiley. Not Pulp Fiction.
Does he look like... All right.
But that he says Carson Wentz will ultimately fail in Philadelphia.
Okay, we're going to need reasonings.
Yes, so I'm going to have to pull the audio, and we can get into it.
Michael Vick says that Carson Wentz will ultimately fail in Philly.
Yes.
That's very interesting.
And maybe he's comparing him to that of which we don't speak anymore, who's down in Jacksonville.
Oh, God.
Meaning, like, if he can't get the Super Bowl, it's a failure.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what he means.
Couldn't you say that about any quarterback ever?
Yeah.
Dan Marino, failure.
Bottom line. I'm a bottom line guy, Bob. Bottom line guy. Is it Rashawn in Philly? What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Rasan?
Yeah.
What's going on? Good. How you doing?
First time calling. I enjoy the show.
Thanks, welcome buddy. In, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I want to talk about Embiid. I think he should get all the blame. Ben Simmons, it should be zero calls about Ben Simmons today. Zero. It should be zero about Brett Brown today. 0 points is unacceptable from your best player. Uh-huh. I don't care how tired you are, because I bet you if he played against the guy in Detroit that he owns, it'd be a different story. Like, is no excuse for him to have 0 points. Zero.
He is the number one culprit. Nobody is saying he is not. But Ben Simmons finishing the game the way he finished, and Brett Brown not being able to call up a play in the final three, or excuse me, the third quarter is atrocious. And not being able to have a guy like Al Horford down low is another reason that was an atrocious performance. However, the number one culprit is Joel Embiid.
Yes, it makes no sense. Yes, he didn't call up a play at the end of the game, but you're still up by a point with a minute, which a star player with 0 points. Like,
right, and Ben Simmons threw the ball away when they were down 1 point on a fast break.
Yeah, I mean, he almost had triple-double, too.
That's a nice, adorable stat line, but I want to win.
But that one play did not cost you the game. That one play on call.
It's the biggest crunch moment, crunch time in that game, and he just throws the ball away.
I totally agree, but when your best player has 0 points.
Yes, that's the biggest thing. No one's denying that.
That's the only issue about yesterday's game that I got out of it. Your star player, who seemed like he checked out, is a problem. That's a problem to me. And then, like Trey said, I agree with Trey. You can't say, okay, if you have. No, that's a bad attitude. That should never happen. When Ben Simmons had 1 point, they killed him. I know it was a playoff game, it's a different thing, but he's supposed to score some points. He's your top scorer. 0 points is unacceptable.
No one's accepting it. Have you heard anyone here today say, hey, 0 for 11, but you'll get them next time there?
No, Joe's honeymoon's over.
It's been over.
And real quick, I'll grab the audio during the break. I just listened to Michael Vick. But yes, it was a failure in comparison to basically Nick Foles. Because the bar has been set so high, he's fighting a constant uphill battle. So that's what Vick had to say about Carson Wentz.
So he's in the shadow of Nick Foles.
Yep. We can listen to it coming up.
Just light me on fire. Please, light me on fire. I don't even want to deal with it.
I hear you.
Time of the Fanatic, 9:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jamie, let me know when we have that.
Oh, it's ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Vick on Fox Sports on Carson Wentz.
Marcella, somehow I have to agree with what you just said, and in a sense of, you know, he will fail in Philadelphia. I think, you know, just the bar has been set so high, you know, by Nick Foles, and regardless of when he came in, you know, he did what he did. They won the Super Bowl. Now, you know, it's a ceiling that's been set, and along with Carson Wentz's character, which sometimes has been questioned, you know, by his teammates, you know, and the public, you know, it just makes it difficult for him. So I think he's just fighting an uphill battle continuously, week in and week out, to win, to be a good teammate. It's a lot, you know, that takes a lot on you. It takes a lot from you to be able to handle that responsibility. You know, on top of that, man, you got a guy who is probably going to go down as one of the greats of all time in Philadelphia history, and Nick Foles, and you got to chase that. That's difficult.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, saying he's ultimately going to fail is kind of a Sith Lord statement, but his point about what he's up against is correct.
Oh, absolutely. That's why you have to blow it up. If you're going to keep Carson Wentz for the next 5 years, guaranteed to that money, you have to light a match. And any receiver has to be someone that never caught a pass from Nick Foles.
Well, look at the Seahawks. They had something similar. I mean, yeah. Russell Wilson and Golden Tate got in a fight at the Super Bowl week. And guess what Seattle did? See you, Golden Tate.
The only difference is that Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl.
I hear you. Carson, but I'm just saying about removing cancers around him.
If that's the guy you're going to look at as your guy going forward, then you have to light a match to the rest of the roster. At least for the offensive side of things, the offensive weapons and all that. That's the only guy that you have to say, all right, well, Carson's our guy, so Nelson Agholor, you're gone. Alshon Jeffrey, you're gone. Maybe Zach Ertz stays, maybe not. Dallas Goedert.
The problem is Alshon and Deshaun's contracts make it impossible.
Oh, yeah, you screwed.
Yeah, like they really screwed up giving him that extension this year. It's $15 million cap hit, a $26 million dead cap hit. Alshon's the only way you could get rid of him is by paying him to literally take the year off. And nobody wants to do that.
No, they don't.
Except for Alshon.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, right?
Brian Haddonfield, what's on your mind, Brian?
Hey, I think you guys are a little disingenuous saying that you have no idea why Jordan Matthews was on the team for 2 weeks and now he's cut.
I mean, no, it's more so about 91% of the snaps.
But you said three. I mean, you didn't say three of their top receivers were all out for the game. Obviously, he was there as a temporary thing. I mean, you're trying to gin up controversy. I get it. Which goes to my next point.
Let's stop at your first point. Let's go one by one. I'll give you your time.
Brian, hold on, Bri.
Okay.
So I'm putting you on hold. Well, I said you'll get your time, and you will. I give time to everybody. I'm not trying to drum up controversy. I'm looking at a consistent trend with the Eagles where they rely on somebody for 90% of their snaps, or 81 at least, when it comes to a guy like Zach Brown and they release him. Or a guy who played 80% of your snaps like Akeem Spence and you release him. And then you have a guy play 91% of your snaps like Jordan Matthews and then you release him. It's not controversy. It's pointing out the inadequacies of this front office. That's the point. Now, Brian, go ahead. What's your next point?
Well, first off, you never said anything about the top three receivers being out, but that's fine.
Brian, our listeners don't know that, Brian?
What's the point?
No idea why. Anyway, let's move on to the second point.
Okay, because your first one was invalid.
All right. What's your next point?
So,
Russell Wilson's comments after the game was a dig at you guys for this very reason. Glad he wasn't selected by Philadelphia because he knows if he's the one that threw the Super Bowl losing touchdown on the goal line, it wouldn't have been blame the coach. It would have been his fault, just like it would have been Wentz's fault if he did that. And you would have said the Super Bowl that was won the year before, it wasn't Russell Wilson. It was a defense blowing out Denver. Guaranteed that's what he meant. It was a dig at you guys because Philadelphia has become the media, the small media has become the controversy manufacturing center of the sports world. It's like supercharges every little issue.
You all right, Brian?
You can disagree with me because I don't think anybody that does manufacture controversy is going to say, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Brian, in all honesty, man, I don't care what Russell Wilson had to say after the game, and I don't think any real Philadelphia fan cares what Russell Wilson had to say after the game. They'll care what K.J. Wright had to say after the game, which was that the offense was predictable. But Jordan Matthews being depended on that much and then being cut, and it's not a one-time incident, which is irrelevant, makes it irrelevant as to why whoever was out from the wide receiving core was out, because you had somebody that was a better option, somebody that wants to make a better play or a bigger play than Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
That's what matters more.
Like, I don't know what Brian's talking about when Greg Ward was a better option than Jordan Matthews all along. Everybody's aware that Nelson Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey were out of the game. Like, I didn't think that needed to be explained.
I don't get it.
Everybody watched on Sunday. Everybody was aware.
Brian's an angry elf.
It is what it is. Sam Wilson, go to give us a final on our Twitter poll, please.
So we had two. Our second one today, would you have benched Joel Embiid last night? We have just under 2,500 votes. 59% said yes, they would have.
Would have benched him?
Yes.
Wow. That's a spicy meatball, Trey.
That's right.
Trey trying to drum up
controversy. 2-0
today. Trying to drum up
controversy.
Two wins today.
Yeah.
And that's brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Trey, drum up controversy. Good God, man. Hey. Spare us your controversial hot takes. Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is there's one good thing to come out of the Raptors, and that's Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. I just saw his announcement that he's from Chester, and now he's funding a new charter school there. He just announced it like 30 minutes
ago. Good for him.
Nothing, so that's cool.
Nothing will comfort me after last night, but good on you.
It's for the children.
Good on you for the children.
Somebody's building a school for kids that don't read that well?
Want to learn to read better?
What is Center for Ants? Anyway, all right. Jamie Lynch.
My takeaway of the day is lay the 7.5 this weekend. Eagles are going to blow the doors off the stinking Dolphins.
Piping hot takes on this fine Tuesday. Bob Cooney.
Trey, I bow to your brilliance. 2-0 today, no question. Dan Orlovsky, congratulations. 3-for-3. Mark.
Yeah, I feel it. 2-for-3.
2-for-3.
2-for-3. I presented the facts. Trey Thomas.
Oh, man. The video thing is pretty awesome. You know, just to send a little videos to the people. It's awesome, man.
Oh, cameo.
Yeah, the cameo. That's it.
Trey, what are the chances of you listening to Tina Turner on your ride home today?
I don't know. Very slim.
My takeaway of the day does come from Mr. Dan Orlovsky. I do still agree with the final two breakdowns on those passes. The first one, I'm still on the side of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. However, I will once again read for you Dan Orlovsky's tweet to me that first play was 1,000,000,000% on Arcega-Whiteside.
He's a smart man.
One guy was backup quarterback for one game in high school. No big deal. Other guy played a couple years in the NFL. 610-632-0975. Stay tuned for Anthony Gargano, the Anthony Gargano Show, here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.